Welcome to our Eagles Live podcast, episode 9 with Dave Spadaro. Glad to have you with us this week. And as free agency went into week 2 in 2016, the Eagles stayed busy, of course, and we will work our theme around what the Eagles did in the second week of free agency. They signed Chris Givens, a wide receiver who played with the St. Louis Rams and very briefly in 2015 for the Baltimore Ravens. He's in on a one-year deal here to stretch defenses, provide a deep threat for quarterback Sam Bradford. We'll hear from Givens later in the show. And the Eagles also re-signing Nolan Carroll to add to a very crowded cornerback position. We, of course, will hear from Carroll later in the show as well. And so we've tailored our theme around those two positions, cornerback and wide receiver. So we're theming this on the island, and that is our subject matter for the Eagles Live podcast in late March. Now, the Eagles are keeping busy. As you know, they've been very active in free agency, really getting into it quickly, signing players, retaining players. That's been the theme of this offseason. So as we go through the show, we are going to talk about cornerbacks and wide receivers. We'll hear from beat reporter Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News, as well as Zach Berman from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And we've got some great fan calls talking about the Eagles and what they've done in this offseason, and also talking about the cornerbacks and wide receiver positions for the Eagles. Before we get into all of that, as well as a catch-up with Jacory Shepard, a second-year cornerback, and Jordan Matthews, a wide receiver who's been so productive in his first two seasons, we speak to Howie Roseman, who got more deals done during the second week of free agency, inking Givens and Carroll to one-year deals. I had a chance to talk to Roseman about those signings. Howie, let's first talk about Nolan Carroll and bringing him back into what looks like a really crowded group at cornerback.
More competition you have, especially that position. I mean, you talk about the receivers in this league, how many talented groups of receivers there are, especially in the NFC East, and bringing Nolan back, a guy who has experience, has played at a high level for us. We're really excited it was able to work out.
And his rehab, obviously, is going as well as you hoped it would go.
Yeah, our training staff, our doctors are doing a great job, as is Nolan, working hard and trying to get back as quickly as possible.
And then on the offensive side, Chris Givens comes in. What made him so attractive to you?
Speed. The ability to stretch a defense, the vertical threat that he provides. And then you put that together with his connection with Sam, and seeing that on tape, being able to go back and watch his film and connecting with Sam and having that chemistry already.
Let's talk about the wide receiver position and what the Eagles have done there. It's been a topic of conversation for Eagles fans for, 20 years? And the question is, do the Eagles have enough for Doug Peterson's offense at the wide receiver spots? Now, a struggle in 2015, the Eagles leading the league in dropped passes, and new wide receivers coach Greg Lewis, who we've heard from in the past, vowing to fix that, making sure that this Eagles group of wide receivers catches the football. The question is, do they have the right players catching the football? So the Eagles, in week 2 of free agency, signing Chris Givens, formerly a 4th-round draft pick by the St. Louis Rams, the 96th selection overall in the 2012 draft. He played his college football at Wake Forest, and he came right into St. Louis and made an immediate impact there. 42 catches, 698 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He averaged 16.6 yards per reception. Big first year for Givens, working with Sam Bradford as a Ram. As it turned out, in his 3-plus seasons with the Rams, 2012, the highlight season, and during 2015, Givens was traded to the Baltimore Ravens. He played in 12 games with Baltimore in 2015, had 19 catches, 346 yards, averaging 18.2 yards per catch. Now, Givens has 107 receptions in his career. He averages 16.6 yards per catch. He's here, as Roseman said, to bring speed to the passing game. Givens excited to work with the Eagles, work with Bradford, and had a chance to talk to Givens. 3 questions with Chris Givens. Chris, for the Eagles fans who really don't know your game, and they've seen clips of you and they expect you to go deep, what can you tell them about the kind of player you're going to be here?
I'm a player that I've developed my game over the years, and I'm not just a one-trick pony anymore. It's things that I've done to develop my game to be able to run the intermediate routes. I've gotten stronger, more physical for run after the catch reasons, and I'm priding myself on becoming a complete football player.
How important is it during the course of developing as a wide receiver to learn the subtleties of the game? It's not just pure talent anymore, is it? To win in the NFL on every play, you have to do the technical things right.
Right, and that's the biggest thing that a lot of guys that I've seen over 5 years that just don't understand. Because, you know, you've been playing football since you were 5, 6 years old. You've always been better, and you really haven't had to change your game or anything. But then you get to the league, and like me in my case, I had a good first year. And then the second year is like, oh, shoot, like everybody knows. And then it's like you got to develop, and you got to really be critical of yourself and watch that film. And, you know, if you run a bad route, why'd you run that route? You don't need your coach to tell you. You should man up and take ownership of it, because if you don't, then you just really won't be here.
Were you critical of yourself as a young player in the NFL?
From the middle of my second year on, I became more critical.
And did that make you a better player?
I think so, yeah.
In this offense, do you see kind of the chance to really get some footing, get some familiarity, and be as productive as you know you can be?
Yeah, I see that as a great opportunity for me. New coaching staff, like, it's a lot of competition in the room. We're all going to compete and we're all going to play well. And I just see it as an opportunity for me to really showcase myself and show that I can be an immediate threat and somebody that's feared in this game.
What was Sam Bradford like to play with in 2012?
It's a lot of fun, because Sam can make every throw. You know what I mean? Like, some quarterbacks, you know, like, all right, if I run this field comeback, I'm not going to get the ball. But with Sam, at any moment, you got to be on your P's and Q's, because he can throw the ball anywhere on the field.
What's the process for you now, Chris? It's the middle of March. The conditioning program begins in April. So from now to then, what do you do?
I'm going back to training. I started training, like, I think a couple days before Super Bowl, and I'm headed back there tonight.
Thanks, Chris.
No problem.
While Givens is the most experienced receiver in this wide receiver room for the Eagles right now, the most productive has been Jordan Matthews, a second-round draft pick, 42nd overall in the 2014 draft. Well, Matthews has been outstanding. 152 catches in his first two seasons. That ranks 10th all-time in terms of reception leaders by players in their first two NFL seasons. Last year, Matthews had 85 catches, 997 yards, and 8 touchdowns. We caught up with Matthews during the offseason as he prepares for year number 3 as a Philadelphia Eagle. Jordan, what are your goals for this offseason?
Goals for the offseason, a couple of things. Improve my functional movement and explosiveness, getting in out of my breaks. I know that, you know, my role is going to be expanded a little bit going into next year. So just kind of redefining my craft from the bottom up, not just going straight into, like, working on the routes that I'll be doing, but just working on my body, like working on my hips, working on being able to get out of certain cuts, like comebacks or deep posts or deep curls and things like that, you know, and just kind of getting that all situated. Continuing to get better at catching the ball, starting at the base level, just, you know, catching the point. And so usually what I do is to work on that, just catching small objects. So I work on catching a lot of tennis balls, so I get, you know, used to catching a small thing. Then we'll bring the footballs out, work the jug machine, and I'm just always kind of getting back to the base and focusing on the point of the ball. If you catch small, then you'll be able to catch big. So if you focus on the whole ball, sometimes it can be overwhelmed. If you just focus on that point, it makes it a lot easier to catch. So that's kind of what I'm getting back to. Obviously just lifting, getting stronger. You know, your muscles get broken down so much during the year, so it's important to kind of build those back up. And then, you know, last, just building continuity and chemistry with my teammates. That's why I'm going out to Oklahoma with Sam to go spend some time with him. That's why I talk to Ertz a lot of times. Why I'm constantly hitting up Huff and Nelson, just seeing how they're doing. And then just trying to build some of that, because I know that we're all going to have to be in this together if we want to go where we want to go.
What do you think of the moves that have been made, signing so many players on the current roster?
Man, you know, I'm ecstatic about him. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, man, bringing Sam back, I was huge on that. I was really adamant about wanting him to be our quarterback. And just when he sent me that text that he was coming back, man, that was great news for me. I was really excited about it. You know, I know that, you know, a lot of people, you know, sometimes change is as good as winning to some people, because whenever it happens, there's always that fresh kind of feeling. But I know lots of times change isn't always good. Sometimes you got to just work at something for a long time, and that's when it ends up kind of manifesting. And I feel like Sam showed enough that he showed that he could be the leader that we can build around. And I knew he wanted to be here, and I feel like, man, when a guy wants to be here and he's doing his thing on the field, you know, we got to keep him. So I was excited about that. Excited about bringing back Vinny. I think he's going to kill in the 4-3. Re-signing Ertz. I mean, in this offense that we're going to run, I just know Ertz is going to have a breakout year, and I'm excited for him, man. I'm happy. He's focused, and so I know that he's going to do his thing. Malcolm Jenkins, extending him, huge. You know, I think he's one of the heart and souls of our team, if not the heart and soul of our team. Amazing leader, great teammate, great guy to play with and compete with each day. And then the guys that we've been able to bring in also, too. Man, I watched some film on Rodney McLeod, cast a beast. I can't wait to get even on just the practice field and work with him, man. I've heard a lot of great things. Zach Stacy's one of my good friends. He played with him at the Rams. He's had nothing but good things to say about him. Seen film on Nigel, you know, can't wait to see what he's able to do out there on the field. Leotis, Ron Brooks. I mean, we got some great guys. I was with Chase Daniels out in San Diego when I was training last year, and Chase was great to be around. Real athletic dude, came to work every single day. So it's going to be great having him in the building too and being able to work with him. So I'm excited about all of them.
Jordan, what do you expect from this group of wide receivers throughout the spring into the summer, into training camp in the preseason?
Man, humility and hunger, man. I think you know, we got to go out there with a chip, you know what I'm saying? We got to understand the responsibility that's ahead of us. You know, people can sit around and pout and be upset about what happened last year, and guys can, you know, kind of feel sorry for themselves and think that people are being hard on us. But at the same time, you know, it's warranted. We didn't play our best football, and we have a responsibility. We're playing in the NFL for a reason. This is the highest level. At the highest level, you got to go perform. And, you know, it's one thing just to be here. It's another thing we have coaches that trust you and coaches that not only believe in you, but also are going to put you in the situations to go out there and make plays. So we have those coaches. We have coaches that believe in us, that want to be successful. So when you got that, man, you gotta put your head down. You gotta go to work. You gotta be humble with it. You gotta be hungry every single day. You know, it can't be no coming in feeling sorry for yourself one day or wanting to take off reps or saying, nah, I'm gonna skip this lift or, you know, I'm not gonna worry about this film tonight. No, I mean, I'm talking to Josh every day. I'm talking to Nelson, Jonathan, you know, Freddie, all those guys, man. We have a responsibility this off season. You know, before we even get to the season, this OTAs, mini camp, we gotta come with it every single day, you know, because I know every other secondary in the league, they're coming with it. We gotta come that much harder.
What does it mean to the locker room to have so many current players signed?
Oh man, it's a great feeling. I think Malcolm hit on it when he signed, when he re-signed, just that. You know, it shows, man, that it's a family environment. And, you know, families that, you know, that stay together and that produce from within and build from within, they're gonna be the most successful ones. I mean, you look at some of the most successful franchises in the NFL, you know, it's been proven that a lot of those times, man, is from the draft, guys in the building, and they play well, they learn what it means to be a part of that team, and in our instance, what it means to be a Philadelphia Eagle. I mean, it's hard to come from the outside and understand what it means to be a Philadelphia Eagle. You know, when you get drafted here, and you kind of get that understanding real quick, you know, because you've never seen anything before. You're just an open vessel, you don't know what the NFL is like. So once you get filled up with Philly football, you already know, okay, this is the responsibility, this is what I gotta go do, this is my job. But if you're somewhere else and then you come here, it can be a little bit harder. So knowing that we have guys that are on the team that have been here, that have been drafted here, that know, you know, the goal, that know the job at hand, be able to sign with us, I think that's huge. And also shows guys that are on the team, man, it's like, hey, if you come here and you produce, you do your job, you ball, you're gonna stay around. You know, they're gonna take care of you. They're gonna want you to be here. And that's more reassuring than anything, is the ability to work for stability. You know, you're not just out here working for yourself and thinking, okay, well, whatever happens, happens. Nah, I'm working with my family, my core brothers, my group of guys, you know, and I mean, it's top to bottom. I mean, Brent Celek, you know, he comes in, he's a great teammate. Blocks his butt off, catches the ball when it comes to him, re-sign. You know, after 9 years in the NFL, they want him to retire an Eagle. If that doesn't say, you know, to guys in the locker room, man, if I go out there and do my job, I can be an Eagle for life, I mean, I don't know what does.
Givens and Matthews join players like Nelson Agholor, a first-round pick in 2015, Josh Huff, a third-round pick in 2014, and a bunch of players that really haven't established themselves at all in the NFL in the Eagles' wide receiver room. So it is a tall task for the Eagles. They certainly will add to the room. Is it possible that they will use a very high draft pick, maybe number 8 overall, at wide receiver? Well, we'll stay tuned for April 28th. On the other side of the island, we talk about the cornerback position, and we start with Carroll, who last year earned a starting job, played well in the Eagles' defensive backfield before suffering a season-ending injury in that gruesome loss to the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Carroll signed his one-year contract on Friday, and we talked to him 3 questions with Nolan Carroll as he looks ahead to another year with some deep competition at the cornerback position. Nolan, what do you see as the opportunity that you have at the cornerback position this year?
No, I definitely see the opportunity as me improving upon what I did last year. You know, last year I felt like I was starting to come into my own. Coach Corey kind of just said, here, you have all the tools that you need to be successful, so just go out there and just play. And I felt like as the season was going along, that's what I was starting to do. And I feel like, you know, just having him back, he's going to put the same responsibility on me again. He wants me to just go out there, just knowing that I'm the veteran guy, even though we have Leotis in the room as well. He knows what to expect from me, and I know what to expect from him. So it's just basically just building upon what I've done already and just going out there and getting back right and being a better player than I was last year.
You're one of 8 players to sign new deals from the current roster. What does that mean to you?
It means that they wanted me back. You know, they saw me as an important piece here, and you know, I'm glad I was able to work out the way it did. And you know, like I said, I just want to be back. I just want to win. I feel like still we have the pieces to be successful. You know, this team is something different about this team. Guys are just I don't know, guys are just together still. You know, I've been on a team where, you know, the off season comes around, guys kind of go their separate ways and nobody really talks to anybody until they come back again in April. You know, now I'm seeing guys, we're in group chats, we're talking to each other on the phone, we're hanging out with each other still in the off season, you know. So to see that, I know that we have something special here because guys, we all view each other as a family. We all view each other as brothers, you know, and when you have that many guys that care about each other like that, you know, the possibilities of doing things are endless.
What kind of expectations do you have for this defense with Jim Schwartz here, with the new scheme and with all of these new players?
Yeah, I think the expectations are high, you know, because like I said, we have the guys to do it. If you look at our stats, our defensive stats, you know, earlier in the year, in the middle of the year, you know, we were up there. You know, we were a defense that people talked about. You know, that wasn't by accident. That's because we had the players in the room to be successful. You know, to have the coaching staff to come in here that we know they're going to simplify for us. We know they're going to be aggressive. That's just only going to make us better. You know, we know the sky's the limit. We're just ready to go.
Another cornerback in the mix, of course, is Shepard, who last year was slotted to play in the nickel. The Eagles impressed with his length, with his ability that they saw in the spring, and then once it got to training camp, Shepard's season went down the drain, a non-contact drill at Lincoln Financial Field, Shepard tearing his anterior cruciate ligament in his knee, and he was done for his rookie season. He's been at the NovaCare Complex every day getting ready for year number two, and Ja'Cory Shepard eager to get back on the field. Ja'Cory, a year ago, you had just come off the combine. You're getting ready for the NFL. Now, you are coming off your rookie season and still getting ready for the NFL. I wanted to catch up with you and see how you're feeling. How's the knee?
The knee is doing good right now. I'm actually pretty close to being ready to go full go, being fully cleared.
How was the season as a rookie? I mean, what do you think you learned from a year of being sidelined?
Ooh. Patience. It was very tough. You know, I've been playing tackle since I was 5, and I've never had an injury where I had to miss a game, let alone the whole season. So it was good to sit back and, you know, see things from the outside in. I was able to learn the game from a new perspective as far as, you know, how to study film, how to watch other guys, you know, other vets like Malcolm and, you know, knowing care, I helped watch them guys see the things that they do to prepare. And I was able to, you know, take that and use it in many ways while I was on the sideline.
So were you actually able to take part in all the film study and prepare as if you were going to play?
Yes, I definitely did. And honestly, I think that was one reason why I was able to stay so positive throughout the season. My coach, Coach Corey, he did a good job of making sure that I stayed paid attention in meetings. You know, he still asked me questions. And also sometimes I stood up and, you know, talked to the guys about what I seen from watching film. And that was one way that I stayed locked in into the season.
You know, because they do say that when you get hurt, the battle is just as difficult from a mental standpoint as it is from a physical standpoint. Did you find that to be the case?
I didn't. I think naturally because I have a positive vibe, I have, you know, such a positive personality, it was kind of easier for me than most guys. And then also, you know, being here with the organization, everybody did a good job of making sure that I was never down and, you know, I stayed up and paid attention all the time.
You come away after the rookie year, Ja'Cory, and watching it all, even more convinced that you can play at a high level in this league?
Definitely. Well, I definitely feel like I was made to be able to play in this league and, you know, be able to do very well. So I'm just as excited, I'm sure, as other people are to see me get out there, and I'm looking forward to finally being able to get out there and playing a real game.
What kind of progress do you think you were making prior to the injury?
Prior to the injury, I think I was making pretty good progress, especially for myself. You know, I just wanted to come in and learn the playbook fast and, you know, get established, get my foot in the door, and basically just put out there that, you know, I can play. And as time go on and as I continue to learn, I just get better and better. So I'm planning on hopefully being able to pick up where I left off.
What exactly happened on the play? I remember it was a sideline play. It was kind of at the end of the play. What happened?
You know, it was a normal thing that you do all the time. You know, thudding up, don't take them to the ground. But me personally, I feel like that because I didn't run all the way through when I thudded them up, so my right leg, it stayed in the ground. All the weight shifted back onto my right leg, and that's what caused my ACL to tear.
I would imagine that everybody in this building, you're as or more excited than anyone to get back out there.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'm very excited, and, you know, as the talk cools down and days go by, just get more antsy to ready to get back out there.
Thanks, Ja'Cory.
Thank you.
Believe it or not, now is the time to start thinking about summer plans. And the best way for your kids to enjoy the summer is to spend it with the Eagles. In partnership with award-winning ESF Camps, the Eagles are proud to introduce the all-new Eagles Football Academy, featuring both football non-contact camps and cheerleading camps for boys and girls ages 6 to 14. Camps feature instruction from current and alumni Eagles players and cheerleaders, a behind-the-scenes tour of the Eagles facilities, top instruction from the region's finest coaches, and much, much more. Register your kids today for the official Philadelphia Eagles Football Academy summer camps. Visit EaglesAcademies.com. Carroll became the third cornerback signed by the Eagles in a span of 8 days. First, the Eagles inking Leotis McKelvin to a two-year contract. McKelvin, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, a first-round draft pick there in 2008. The Eagles also signing Ron Brooks to a three-year contract on March 9th. And then it was Carroll agreeing to terms on a one-year contract on March 15th. It is a deep room, and the Eagles expecting Eric Rowe to grow in year two. They expect Ja'Cory Shepherd, a draft pick in 2015, to mature in his first season coming back from his ACL injury. So there is depth, there is talent in numbers, and there is competition. But are the Eagles good enough at the cornerback spots? Are they good enough at wide receiver? Well, we asked a couple of the Eagles beat reporters, Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News and Zach Berman from the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's our press coverage in this Eagles Live podcast, episode 9. Les Bowen, Philadelphia Daily News. The theme of this podcast is Eagles wide receivers and Eagles cornerbacks. So let's start on the offensive side of the ball. As you look at that group, what do you see?
Well, until today in Chris Givens, you didn't see any experience really to speak of. He's played 4 years. That makes him like Methuselah in the Eagles wide receiving corps. I guess you see with him, you add a little more speed. With the guys they already had, Jordan Matthews, I think, is someone who's going to be an upper tier receiver in the league. I don't know if he's ever going to be, you know, a speedster or anything like that, but he's going to be a great possession receiver, a guy who's going to, you know, he almost hit 1,000 yards this year, and I think he certainly will as his career moves on. Josh Huff is a real interesting player to me in that he was strictly a Chip Kelly creation, Chip Kelly draft pick, Chip Kelly player. He wasn't happy when Chip was fired. He's been a bit of an enigma so far in his career, and we'll just see how he does with this new coaching staff. And then we've got Nelson Aguilar, who, you know, everybody was very happy with him through the offseason and last summer, and then all of a sudden in this season he just disappeared. I don't know if that had to do with the offense and the way he was coached, if Greg Lewis will make a difference there, but certainly you need a lot more from him this season unless you draft five wide receivers or something, which I don't think they'll do.
And then on the defensive side of the ball, on that island, the Eagles have gone out and signed Leotis McKelvin and Ron Brooks. They keep Nolan Carroll. They think Eric Rowe's on the come. Do you agree with what they're doing on that side of the ball at cornerback?
Well, they certainly have numbers there. You can add, you know, Jalen Watkins and Denzel Rice and that guy Grimes from Canada. And, you know, they have more corners than they can possibly keep on the roster right now. Are they great there? I don't know if they have a shutdown corner. If that opportunity presents itself at 8th overall in the draft, I would probably take it. But I think they can certainly play with what they have. If they had to start the season tomorrow, that'd be one of the positions where you'd say they are most set. I don't think they're going to get killed there. I don't think it's going to be like it was when Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams were the starters.
Thanks, Les.
You're welcome, Dave.
Zach Berman, Philadelphia Inquirer. The Eagles have made all these moves at cornerback, and they add Chris Givens at wide receiver. So let's take those two positions separately. First, let's talk about the cornerback position. What do you see from that group?
Well, I think that there's a lot of B or C players, and they still don't have that number one cornerback per se. They need Eric Rowe to develop in year two, and then they need, from that group of Leotis McKelvin, Nolan Carroll, they need one of those to step into a solid starter. And then you have some depth there in Jalen Watkins, Ja'Cory Shepherd. If one of those guys can step up, then you have a good foundation.
Would you consider, if you were making the call, if you were upstairs in Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson's rooms, would you consider at number eight a cornerback?
If he's the best player on the board, absolutely. I would take the best player regardless of position, but cornerback is certainly a need for the Eagles right now.
All right, a wide receiver, Chris Givens, comes to town, joins a very young group. In fact, he's the most experienced wide receiver the Eagles have. How do you see that group?
Depends on Nelson Aguilar, and that's really the key. Jordan Matthews, I think we know what he is at this point. He can step in there and be a solid wide receiver for them. Nelson Aguilar was the first round pick last year. They need him to play like a first round pick. Did not look like it. If he can be what the Eagles thought he was going to be when they drafted him, they'll be fine. If not, it's a bad wide receiver core.
Thanks, Zach.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Time now for the fans to chime in this Eagles Live podcast. What do you think of this offseason? And what do you think about the Eagles at those two positions that everyone sees, cornerback and wide receiver? Let's now go to the phones to hear from Eagles fans. We now go to Allentown and talk to Zach. Zach, welcome to the Eagles Live podcast, episode 9. I'm asking fans to give their grades for the offseason to date for the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you got?
I give them an A. They've gotten their secondary together. They got the corners together. They got the safety they needed. I think Jenkins and McLeod are going to work really well together. And they also re-signed Bradford, which they needed.
Interesting. Okay, so we'll talk about cornerbacks. And I agree that adding Leotis McKelvin and adding Brooks and keeping Nolan Carroll gives the Eagles a lot of depth. And so good competition, Eric Rowe coming back at cornerback. Do you think that they're good enough at the cornerback position to compete against Dez Bryant and DeSean Jackson and Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yes, I think they're ready.
All right, so you're happy there. Now we want to go to the other side of the ball and talk about wide receivers. Now the Eagles make the addition of Chris Givens at wide receiver. He joins Jordan Matthews and Nelson Agholor and Josh Huff and company. How do you feel about the Eagles wide receiver position?
I feel like we have a young group of talented receivers that I think that Chris Givens can give them some veteran experience to try and help them get moving.
Okay, I'll buy that. Now, so you're a happy fan. Let's trace it back to quarterback. At the end of the 2015 season, Zach, did you want Sam Bradford to come back?
Yes.
Okay, so then you're happy there too. Let's go to the next phase here, Zach. What would you like to see the Eagles do between now and, you know, training camp? What positions do you want to see them address?
Offensive line, number one.
I agree.
And then second, I would go to running back.
Ah, so the running back position. So go ahead, give me the name. I know there's a name on your mind.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott. And you would use, Zach, if you were the general manager of this football team, would you use that 8th pick overall in round number 1 to go and get your running back for the present and the future, Ezekiel Elliott?
I wouldn't put my 8th overall on him. He would drop somehow to the 3rd round, which is highly unlikely. But if he drops down there, I would definitely want to get him.
Okay.
But I would address the offensive line in the 1st round.
Okay. And so if you address the offensive line and running back, do you think the offense is pretty complete?
Yes.
Okay. And how about the defense? What do they still need to add on defense?
To me, they need to add defensive linemen. They've just lost Cedric Thornton, who I thought was a great playmaker. I think they need to put another addition in there.
Okay. Zach, you are a happy fan. I like to hear that. And we thank you very much for calling the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 9.
Thank you for having me.
All righty. In Philadelphia, Herb joins us here on our Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 9. Herb, we are asking the Eagles fans to grade this 2016 offseason. What do you think?
You know, as the first report card, I'd say it's an A-.
Tell me why.
The only thing I thought was a little high was what they paid Chase Daniel. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I love that they paid their own players first. They extended them. I know that they have room still for Fletcher Cox, and they're not going to let that get away. And then, like, every little, you know, the needs, like a nice guard, a nice safety, and some other guys to fill in. And I know our cap money's short, but, and the trades were great. I like moving up to 8 in the draft because, you know, like, they think that there are 10 outstanding players. Well, we're going to get one of them.
Sounds good to me, Herb. Now, the focus of this show has been on cornerbacks and wide receivers. So I'd like to get your perspective on what you think about the Eagles at the cornerback position first and then the wide receiver position second.
Oh, the cornerbacks? Okay. I like Nolan Carroll. I think is at least he's a good security blanket. He can play well.
They signed Leotis McKelvin.
Well, right. He's also been a very good player. I think he fits the scheme well. For what Jim Schwartz wants to do.
And then Brooks is the other one. Ron Brooks is the other one.
Ron Brooks is, I think he's, backup and a decent special teams player.
And then Eric Rowe, from what you...
Eric Rowe is coming on very well at the end of the season. He started off a little shaky the first game. He got torched. But then he straightened out, and he's been playing better and better. I think he's a solid starter, and he might be better than solid.
Now let's go to the offensive side of the ball and talk about the wide receivers. The Eagles adding Chris Givens this week. He goes into the wide receiver room along with Jordan Matthews and Nelson Agholor and Josh Huff. Are the Eagles good enough there, in your opinion, Herb?
I'm not sure they are. They might be. I noticed the Givens is a speed guy, and we'll see what happens. I think they're okay. We don't know about Huff yet. He's the biggest one I don't know about. I think Aguilar is going to develop well, and we'll see what happens in the draft. You know, I think we're in a position now where you don't have to get anybody in the draft. You take whoever rolls around the best.
Well, 9 draft picks, including the 8th overall. We're going to talk about the draft, obviously, a lot between now and April 28th. But I'll put you on the spot right now, Herb. You make the call at number 8. What do you do?
What do I do? I'm thinking you might get someone like Vernon Hargreaves might be there. That would be my guess, would be Hargreaves. Of all the guys, I think some of the other guys are going to go first that you'd like. Stanley and Miles Jack and those guys. I think it would be Hargreaves.
Well, thanks very much for the phone call, Herb, who goes for Vernon Hargreaves, the outstanding cornerback from the University of Florida. Herb, thanks for joining us on the Eagles Live podcast, episode 9.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now we go to Narberth, Pennsylvania, and talk to Mike, who joins us here on the Eagles Live podcast, episode 9. Mike, we're talking about the Eagles in the offseason. You got a grade for me?
I give them an 8 so far. I love the offseason, what they've done. Filled a lot of holes, resigned players, got some really good free agents. We finally have a hitter in the secondary. I think it's a great start, and we've got a good way to go with the draft. So things are looking good.
Boy, everybody loves that Rodney McLeod, huh?
Well, man, I was watching a lot of film, like a lot of videos on that guy's a player. He loves here, I think.
So, Mike, we're trying to talk a little bit about kind of focused on the island in this show, the wide receivers for this team and the cornerbacks. Give me your opinion of what the Eagles have at the wide receiver position.
I think they got good young wide receivers. They had trouble last year. That could be just, you know, one of those things, because Matthew didn't drop as many passes before last year, and I think Aguilar just needs time. I would try to go offensive line first, personally, and then there's some good wide receivers that'll be available later. And the D-backs, I don't know too much about them in the college ones coming out. I know there's a couple good ones, but I still think offensive line is the biggest need.
Interesting, a cornerback with Nolan Carroll, with Leotis McKelvin, with Ron Brooks joining Eric Rowe, Ja'Cory Shepherd coming back from an injury. The Eagles have a lot of depth, it appears, a lot of competition. Do they have that star cornerback, that shutdown cornerback on this roster?
I don't know about that right now. That is a problem, but maybe it would help them out a little bit. I don't know. I guess what did you say? Hargreaves is his name, I think.
Yeah, Hargreaves is a name, and he's a top-rated cornerback out there, one of the top-rated cornerbacks, and I'm sure the Eagles will keep their eyes open. But Mike, I'm just glad you're thrilled about the offseason so far. I know that it was a tough end to 2015 for Eagles fans.
Yeah, it was, but it's nice the way they jumped on everything fast and fixed a lot of their problems. I mean, this is only the first year, so it could take a couple years to get everything together, but it's a great start.
Mike, I thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
We're now going to go down to Florida and welcome Josh to our Eagles Live podcast, episode 9. Josh, we're asking Eagles fans to give their grades for this offseason to date. What grade do you have?
I think I'd probably have to go with a B+ for right now.
Tell me why.
Well, we started off real strong, you know, locking down the tight ends and our offensive weapons. And then we extended some of our key defensive guys, which was good because, you know, we had a really good group defense-wise. And now adding a wide receiver definitely helps because I think we definitely need more options there. Just, you know, our tight ends are so good. They'll get a lot of focus, and we just need to tighten up the wide receiver group. The only thing I might be a little worried about is just depending on if we keep Ryan Matthews and what's going to happen with the running back spot.
It's interesting. I mean, I do believe they will keep Ryan Matthews, and I do think they will add to the position. Where, with whom, I don't yet know. But, you know, I've always been under this belief, Josh. I really think that running backs are not that difficult to find. And I put myself in the mind of Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson, offensive coordinator last year in Kansas City. The Chiefs lose Jamal Charles to a season-ending knee injury, and boom, they win 11 straight games. So just how important is having a quote-unquote star running back? That's kind of the question that I asked.
Right, and yeah, they did a really good job in Kansas City, because especially in my fantasy league, everyone thought, you know, oh, Jamal Charles is done, and like, what's going to happen? And then it was just like equal or even better production from the next guy. So I love that we have Sproles, because to me, he's just the perfect, so small and low to the ground, and he's just awesome with his pass catching. And I thought Ryan Matthews did an awesome job this last season and was really more productive than DeMarco. So we have a pretty good committee we can get going if we just secure the one guy, or even just in a couple more seasons if we have Barner. I thought he looked really great in the preseason last year and all the stuff that he did.
Well, you know, I agree with all that. And I think with Ryan Matthews, he's just got to do something that he's really had trouble doing. And that, of course, is staying healthy.
Right.
Let me ask you this, because this is kind of the theme of the show. We're talking about players on the island, the cornerback position and the wide receiver position. Your thoughts on wide receiver and on cornerback for this football team?
Well, if I'm really honest, I was kind of glad we got rid of Maxwell, because I was just constantly frustrated with watching.
I think everybody was.
Yeah, such a big contract, and because he didn't really perform on his own so well. You know, I think we definitely need to get someone who just play a little more physical than him without just on the penalties, but that'll definitely be something I have to watch this season. Just hopefully it's an upgrade from last. And then wide receivers, you know, I think we have strong guys, but some of them are still so young that it'll be nice to maybe Givens can help some, and just maybe we need to just get someone with a real veteran presence that can just teach these guys, because like they're definitely going to have the production, but they're just not there yet.
Well, hey, Josh, thanks so much for joining us here on the Eagles Live podcast.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you. We've got our next Eagles Live podcast, episode 10, ready to go for you. We'll be in Boca Raton, Florida next week. From the NFL owners' meetings, we'll talk to Doug Peterson, Eagles head coach, Howie Roseman, and others about this Eagles team as it shapes up for 2016. We thank you for joining us on the Eagles Live podcast, episode 9. Thanks to Brian Thomas for putting it all together, and thanks to the Eagles fans for being part of our show every week. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.